Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, which believes great beer can be as exciting as great music. Since 1988, Goose Island has been committed to that belief by brewing new styles of beer like 312 Urban Wheat Ale, Sophie Farmhouse Ale, and Bourbon County Stout. Goose Island, to what's next? GooseIsland.com.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and you know, Greg, South by Southwest is such a chaotic, overwhelming, weird event. Anything can happen on the streets in Austin. The weirdest experience I had, I was coming out of my hotel, and I ran smack in, I mean, almost bumped into Sinbad, the comedian. He was getting into this Cadillac SUV, about to take him somewhere. I have no idea why he was there, some comedy thing. He had an entourage, wanted to know if I wanted to take a selfie with him, and I politely declined.
Bill Murray was apparently everywhere. I didn't bump into him, but there was plenty of music there as well, Jim, and we're going to talk about that later in the show. But first, we've got some music news. That is Desiree from the late, great 60s Baroque pop group, The Left Bank. We're playing it in honor of Michael Brown, the keyboardist in the group that wrote that song along with many of their other hits. He's dead at the age of 65. We're paying tribute to Brown because, Jim, I think The Left Bank were one of the underrated great bands of the 60s. They didn't have a particularly long career. They didn't do a lot of touring. They're not talked about in the first league of groups from that era. But the small body of work that they did was exquisite, I thought. They produced some of the great orchestral pop songs of that decade.
Hugely influential later on many of those so-called Paisley Underground psychedelic revival bands.
Oh, yeah, and we saw a lot of indie bands exploring textures with orchestration and using The Left Bank as one of their models. Brown was actually the one guy in that group that could actually play. The other guys really weren't musicians. Mm. But Brown was sort of the primary keyboardist. His father was a producer. In fact, his father produced some of the early Left Bank tracks, and Brown was kind of the key cog as a writer and keyboardist in that group. He also did some work with a band called Stories in the early 70s, that groundbreaking multiracial group. They had a big hit with Brother Louie in the early 70s. He was in that band as well. And he also wrote another deep cut from 1968 by the group Cherry People called And Suddenly. If you're a deep psych pop collector from that era, you know that track. But here is the all-time classic, Walk Away Renee. And he wrote it. He developed a huge crush on the bass player's girlfriend in the group, who happened to be named Renee. No, never a good thing to be in love with another guy's girlfriend in your own band. But that was the case here and inspired some of his greatest work. Pretty Ballerina was inspired by the same woman and this particular track. One of the signpost songs of the 60s, Walk Away Renee from The Left Bank, as written by Michael Brown on Sound Opinions.
Sidewalks on my block.
Left Banks' Walk Away Renee in honor of Michael Brown from that group, dead at the age of 65. That is Courtney Barnett from her upcoming album, Sometimes I Sit and Think, Sometimes I Just Sit. Greg, I think Courtney Barnett was the runaway star of the 28th edition of the South by Southwest Music and Media Conference.
No doubt.
We're going to review her new album next week. But first, we have to talk a little bit about the keynote address. In years past, it used to be that there was some legendary musician who would stand at the podium and give a speech about how they've arrived where they are in their career, offering advice to young up-and-comers. Some of them were just extraordinary. Johnny Cash, Lucinda Williams, Bob Mould. Over the last decade, South by Southwest has gone to a more sort of sit-down celebrity interview with a hand-picked interviewer lobbing softball questions at some star. I thought in the last 2 years they were going back to their roots. Both Bruce Springsteen and Dave Grohl gave keynotes in the last 2 years that were much more, you know, at the podium, fascinating speech. Not this year. We had rapper Snoop Dogg, whose accomplishments are considerable, interviewed by his manager. I was not a fan of this. I think there's been a lot of controversy with Snoop that wasn't touched upon, but he was nonetheless charming, I thought, when he was talking about how he fell in love with music. Listen to this clip.
Where and how did you first kind of fall in love with music?
I think it started in the 70s with my mom playing music, having parties at the house, and just seeing what it did for me and for what it did for other people, the spirit that music embodied when people heard it. Isley Brothers, Teddy Pendergrass, Marvin Gaye. I mean, she would play everything that felt good. And then she had records up under the component set that was like Richard Pryor records and Rudy Ray Moore. You know, the records that I wasn't supposed to listen to, but I listened to those too.
You know, Jim, I wish there was more of that in Snoop's Q&A, where he talks about his early life and what got him into the position he's in now, rather than just the litany of accomplishments that that Q&A turned out to be.
I suppose, but he did talk about his new fondness for abstract painting, where he flicks his marijuana ash on the paintings.
Yes, that was a highlight. The South by Southwest Music Conference, we go every year. This is my 25th year, your 23rd, I believe.
22nd.
Pretty long run, where this is the number one music gathering in North America. 2,000 bands this year playing at clubs throughout the city. I think the big change this year was the corporate presence was a little less in your face. You know,
amen.
Gone was that skyscraper snack dispenser that dominated downtown Austin for the last few years. Nobody was missing that thing. I think they got so much backlash that I think even the corporations kind of realized they have to back off just a little bit.
Well, there were like 20 panels on corporations talking about branding with music, talking about needing to be more subtle.
Yes, yes, indeed. And, you know, the thing is, we both got to see a lot of bands that we wanted to see, and that's the key for us. You know, up-and-coming new bands. Austin still had plenty of those to go around, and we're excited to talk about those bands later on in the show. You mentioned Snoop's speech. I wish Rollins, Henry Rollins, had been nominated this year to give the keynote address, because I saw him do a Q&A, again, with another kind of softball interviewer a few days before the Snoop keynote, and thought, you know, he came across as much more genuine and revealing about what it takes for someone like him to have a 30-year career in this business. He'll be the first to tell you, I'm a complete overachiever. There's no way I should have turned whatever it is I had into a career. You know, he said, basically, I perpetrated a massive punk rock fraud by getting into acting. I can't act. But he says, I go 100 miles an hour in order not to go back to parking cars and working as an ice cream vendor. So I thought it was an impressive glimpse into what makes a career that is sort of left of center click and enable it to have a certain amount of longevity, something that I don't think Snoop ever really touched on.
Well, for all those panel sessions, Greg, there is still a lot of pie-in-the-sky idealism about being able to sustain yourself as a musician, when in fact, we may be at this point where music is a hobby, music is something you might make some money from, but to be able to make a living, it's like coming out of grad school with a degree in poetry and expecting to find a job as a poet, right? Nobody thinks that way. I thought the panel that really summed up these issues included Paul Krugman, the Nobel laureate, Princeton economics professor, New York Times columnist, former Sound Opinions guest, right?
Yeah.
And the Will and Wynn Butler, the pair of brothers who lead Arcade Fire. No other band has had, I think, as much luck in the last decade coming from the underground into the arenas. Krugman made the point, one that you and I make several times, that, and this was based on some work a Princeton colleague had done, even at the height of the CD boom in the 90s, artists made seven times more on average from live performances than from the sale of recorded music. Krugman said, so it has been from time immemorial. Artists survive on live performance, not on selling records. And Arcade Fire, Wynn Butler, he said, we have the best record deal in the world. He's talking about the independent label Merge Records. And we make more from one big festival performance than everything else combined annually. I thought that was fascinating. But as you mentioned earlier, the reason we go to South by Southwest is to see bands that we're pretty confident are going to make a lot of noise, a lot of news in the next year or so. We want to bring them to you first. That's what we enjoy. Greg, you're up first with somebody you discovered down there.
Yeah, Jim, I got a chance to see this band out of the UK, Wolf Alice, for the first time. I'd been enjoying their EPs over the last couple of years, and their first album is finally going to come out this year, and wow. In particular, the singer, Ellie Roussel, she's a dynamo on stage and also emerging as a really strong songwriter. It's hard to believe, but I think Wolf Alice actually started out as a duo and kind of had a folky kind of spin to their music. Now they're this ferocious four-piece rock band with Roussel in front, and it is just magnetizing. In addition, the songs kind of give me a nice little vibe from the heyday of alternative rock or early 90s kind of stuff, but with very much of a contemporary spin.
That was a real trend this year. Everybody is discovering the 90s. It kind of makes me feel old, but also I kind of feel vindicated.
Well, you know, Courtney Barnett clearly is in that space as well. But again, I think it's the level of the songwriting that makes it more than just a nostalgia act. And that was very much the case with Wolf Alice. I'm going to play the first single from the group that was released about a year or so ago. It's called Fluffy, from Wolf Alice on Sound Opinions. That is Wolf Alice with a song called Fluffy. They've already got a couple of EPs out that you can find online, but the debut album is what you're waiting for. It's called My Love Is Cool. It's going to be out in June from Wolf Alice.
Greg, I think in addition to this 90s revival or a return to some of that energy of the 90s grunge era, this was the year of the woman at South by Southwest, okay? We talked about Courtney Barnett earlier. And look, I don't say that in any sort of reductive, cliched way. Every year should be the year of the great artists, be they male or female. But most of the bands that really impressed me were female-fronted at the very least. Girlpool was one of them. You and I saw them at a place called Mohawk. We were standing apart. A fan of Sound Opinions came up and said, "Hey, isn't that Greg over there? How come you're not by him?" I said, "Because we separate, man. We don't want to know what's getting each other excited." Girlpool got me really excited. They started as teenagers, these two women, Cleo Tucker and Harmony Tividad. It's just bass, guitar, and vocals. Really fragile. It reminded me of Liz Phair in the early days before she began to tour with a band. These incredible songs, very fragile constructions that sort of seem like they're going to fall apart at any minute. Not a lot of distraction in the music. The lyrics are the focus, those harmonies, the way the women's vocals come together. It's funny stuff, and it also can be surprisingly cathartic. I'm going to play a track from their forthcoming album. It's called Before the World Was Big. That's out in June. This was already out there online as a single. Chinatown by Girlpool on Sound Opinions.
Looking at a picture of you in Chinatown, getting
Chinatown by Girlpool on Sound Opinions. Coming up on Sound Opinions, we'll continue running down the best of South by Southwest. And later, we review the new album from rap star Kendrick Lamar. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
Remember, you could paint me anywhere.